1 Samuel 17, the Bible said, verse 1, now the Philistines gathered together their armies to battle. I'm going to tell you this, child of God, opposition has just not arose. God's young'uns have always had great oppositions. And you'll find in the Bible there's some bigger than others. Because the Bible said, and Saul, the men of Israel, were gathered together in verse 2 and pitched by the valley of Elah and set the battle in array against the Philistine. And the Philistine stood on a mountain on one side and Israel on the other. There was a valley between them, and verse 4, oh, you've heard about it in Sunday school a lot. There went out a champion out of the camp of the Philistines named Goliath of Gath, whose height was 6 cubits and a span. Thank you for standing this morning, honoring the reading of the Word of God. I want to preach on this thought as the Holy Ghost moved in my heart yesterday and today. On the thought where I've just read, on killing your giant. Killing your giant. I've noticed this, that your giant may not be my giant, but all giants have a lot of things in common. Do you notice that God's young'uns, the Bible said the Philistines gathered together their armies to battle. You've got an opposing force against you the day that you got saved. Now, you used to run with the devil. But now, if you got saved, you swap sides of the track, and now you are opposing the devil. Are supposed to be. One of the greatest things that we ought to shout about is that the devil's bothering us. Well, thank God he ain't got us. I'm glad he ain't got me this morning. Lets me know that I'm doing pretty good. He ain't got me. And so, this thing of killing your giant, I want to ask you this. There is the validity of your giant. He is valid. The validity of your giant. He is valid. You see in verse number 4, there went a champion of the camp of the Philistines named Goliath of Gath, whose height was 6 cubits and a span, 9 foot 9 inches tall. Now, I want to say the validity of your giant. You say, well, preacher, does giants really live in the day and hour that we live? Oh, I've seen a lot of big giants in this Christian walk of life. I found out sometimes a giant can present himself as the giant of addiction. There's a lot of people that are faces that great giant, Brother Marlin, that they are addicted to things of this flesh that God never intended for the child of God to be addicted to. Those addictions can range and have a vast variation today. But they all have one thing in common. They're big. And so it can present to yourself a giant of addiction. I found out also the giant of adjustment. Nobody likes change. I found out the only one likes change is a baby. Somebody say amen right there. And boy, we live in a lifetime of great adjustment. Some of you've had to adjust your lifestyle. Some of you've had to adjust the things you were doing because things have presented themselves to you in the giant of adjustment. I'm going to tell you this as a child of God. I don't know but one or a few things that are forever, and it's not anything in this life. Things change. People change. Environments change. And so you may find out in your life, you found this giant of adjustment. It's hard for me to adjust to change. Not only is there a giant of addiction and giants of adjustments, but there's also giants of afflictions. I like this when people say, preacher, cheer up. It'll be all right. And it will be, but I can't get my chin off my shoe right now. And so there are giants of affliction. There are giants of allurements. I don't know about you, but I often find a giant of allurement in front of me that's wanting to get me from where I am with God, filled with the Holy Ghost, and try to allure me to a place that I don't need to be. Am I preaching to anybody this morning? Boy, I am allured many times by things. Boy, can't the devil paint some pretty pictures? He'll show you the billboard of the Clydesdale and the Bush beer, but he don't show you the backside of them billboards. Mom and daddy's weeping their way in a morgue, looking over a coffin of a loved one. Oh, honey, these things of allurements in this life, they're giants in my life. The devil will tell me a lot of times, well, what's the use of you going down there and preaching that crowd? They ain't listening. Half of them's asleep. Now, that's a lie. You can't sleep here. Unless you've had cardiac arrest or something. But he will try to allure you to go to another place. He'll say, you know what? If you'd go over yonder where they line up, sign your Bible, said your crowd don't love you no more, said you ought to go over there where you love. Ain't you glad the devil's a liar? Lord God, I'm glad it's one less me on the front this morning. Amen. He give me thumbs up. Glory to God. Isn't it something how the devil will try to lure you and get you out of where you need to be? Boy, the lake looks prettier on Sunday morning, don't it? The mountains look beautiful on Sunday morning. People are so goofy. Allurements, the giants of allurements. And oh my, how he loves to get you trapped and get you away from where you need to be. Then there's a giant, not only of addictions and adjustment and afflictions and allurements, but there are giants of anger. Man, I got that thing lives in me sometime. I about got a little upset at Brother Donald this morning. He is running about 40 in a 45. I was behind Brother Donald. He didn't know it. He'd done been to Jack's. He got up early. He done planned his day. It wasn't his problem I was late. It wasn't his problem I was getting upset. And I looked, and it's just a 45 mile an hour sign. Well, my goodness, Brother Donald was obeying what was doing right. And I was one trying to get out of bounds doing wrong. Am I preaching to anybody this morning? Oh, the giants of anger. They come up in our lives so many times. Oh, he's a big rascal, that giant of anger. Boy, when your nostrils flare out, and you got a vein inside your head gets pumped full. A lot of your husbands know if she's about fed up, that vein will sort of stand out and get blue. Amen? And she'll go to turning red, and she goes to getting heated up. And, oh my, this giant of anger. Whoa, isn't it amazing how these giants present themselves in our life? And then not only the giant of anger, but there are giants of adversity. A lot of times adversity comes. Listen, honey, you better not be out there in this world hunting trouble. The Bible said that a man is full of trouble in few of days. You ain't got to go hunt trouble, honey. Trouble's going to come hunt you down. And there is a great giant of adversity. The validity of your giant, he is valid. Verse 4, you'll see he is existent. And he's very much alive. You know, somebody told me, the day I got saved, praise God, boy, all your troubles are gone. No, all my sins were gone, but just some troubles had started. I now got to get people trouble and flesh trouble and sin trouble. And so the validity of your giant, he's very valid. He's existent in verse 4. In verse 4, not only his existence, but his experience. Watch this. He is a champion. That's how come we get defeated so much. He's a great champion. You know how long the devil's been at this? A long time. I got saved in 81. It's 209, right? 28 years old I've been a Christian. 28 years walking with the Lord.
But I'm going to tell you something. The devil is a slick devil. He's a great trickster. He is the champion of his trade. And we by ourselves are no match for the devil. That's why AA don't cure drunkenness. That's how come clinics don't cure dopers. Honey, that's how come this and that of the things of this world cannot cure spiritual situations. But greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. I'll take Jesus and the Bible and be filled with the Holy Ghost and face my giants every day of my life for the glory of God. The world's educating your problems and educating your troubles, and come pay the counselor $110 an hour. He'll tell you you're crazy. He'll tell you it's no cure for you. But Jesus says, there's nothing too hard for Him. And I'm glad I know Him to be the giant killer this morning. Now, this giant, his existence, but his experience, he's champion. And then, not only his existence and his experience, but his exhibits. He loves to show himself. Matter of fact, in verse 43, turn over and watch your Bible. And the Philistines said to David, those giants are talking. They sent little old David out there. And for the sake of time, y'all thank God for this. You may get another piece of chicken because I didn't read all this chapter this morning. They sent little old ruddy David out. Just a little fair-complected lad of a boy. And here's this feller about 10 foot tall. And they sent him out. He said, what's up with that? He said, am I a dog? I want to say, first of all, he's a show dog. Yeah, amen. He loves to show how big he is. Boy, a lot of you facing your giant this morning, and every morning you get up, there's your giant by your bed. You know why? He's a show dog. He loves to exhibit himself. He loves to tell you how big he is, because he is a big giant. He's a big giant. We see now, verse number 4, not only the validity of your giant, but notice this vantage of your giant. Your giant has a vantage, but he don't have all the vantage. But he does have a vantage. He has a vantage point, because he's a big giant. You know something I seen a reading there, though? Look at him in verse number 4. I'm going to run shout. He said this, and there went out a champion of Goliath whose height was 6 cubits and a span. Preacher, what you so tore up about? Well, the vantage of your giant, he's big, but he ain't all big. See, you can measure your giant, but you can't measure our God. Because our God has no boundaries. He has no measurements. God is bigger than your giant. Now, your giant can be measured. And your giant is big. And I want to say in verse 4, your giant is bad. He's got a lot of medals and trophies. He's champion. Oh, yes, sir. He, like the young crowd said, he is bad to the bone. He's a bad dog. You say, how come he's so bad? Look how many people he's knocked out of the race, Brother Dennis. Brother Dennis dealt with a verse this morning. Let us run the race. That's our part. And he said, let us cast off the weights which do so easily beset us. And then he talks about, and the sin. But then he says, a race that is set before us. Man, God's done got something set out there that if we'll just stay in the race, we're going to run into it. And I sure don't want to miss what God's got for me. But I'm telling you, honey, how many people do you know that's been put out of the race by this big and bad giant? He's bad. And let me tell you something. He ain't no match for me and you. Don't think for one second you can whoop him. I mean, it'd be just about like, hey, Brother Dennis, come here, Brother Dennis. Come here, Noah. Come here, son. I'm not going to bite you. Come here. I want you to look at this. Does this look like it's at any disadvantage? The odds don't look too good, does it? Now, I'm going to tell you right now, if this little feller jumps on this big fella, he's had a bad day. He's had a bad day. Well, I'm going to tell you something. We got a big giant. We got a bad giant. I'm going to tell you, we got a bold giant. He don't care if he steps off in your cornbread or not, honey. He don't care if he gets up in your bowl of Wheaties ever. It don't matter because he's a bold giant. I mean, you just don't say, get behind me, Satan, with him, and just go on your way. Yeah. Honey, there's something got to go on before you're going to kill your giant. I heard this old boy, he'd been eating too many tomatoes or onions or something. He said, when that hurricane came toward Bowden, he raised up his hand, and he rebuked him in the name of the Lord. And he moved that whole storm around Bowden. Honey, let me tell you something. The sovereign God of your Bible's the one that moves things. This crowd sailing, they doing all this healing clinics and going on. Yeah, right. I got me some beachfront property down in Burwell I wish somebody'd come see. If any man could heal today, why don't he go on out there and empty out Eccleston Hospital? Don't quit shouting now. These little old sissies taking our community to little drama clubs. The God of the Bible is who we need. Now I want to tell you this morning, friend. You'll notice this. He's a big giant. He's a bad giant. He's a bold giant. And he's a bullying giant. Look in verse number 8 what he says. Boy, this is him a-talking. And the Bible said, and he stood and cried to the armies of Israel and said to them, why are you come out to set your battle in array? Am not I a Philistine and you service us to Saul? Choose your men for you and let him come down to me. Verse 9, if he be able to fight with me. He's a bully, ain't he? He'll tell you right now, he can handle you. Any of y'all ever went to school with a bully? You know what I found out about bullies, Brother Felt? Most time there's all mouth. You know what tickled me, Brother Marlin? An old bully come by, big old raw bone looking rascal, bad breath, bad haircut, bad everything. Come by and pick on somebody little and get their plow cleaned. That just tickles the far out of me. I'm sitting there saying the whole thing, I've always been an underdog guy. I like the underdog. And you know something, this bully, ain't you about tired of him of pushing you around everywhere you go? Boy, I want to get on something right here, and I know you might not come back next week, but all I can preach about is what I know about. I had some stuff I carried around in my pants pocket. It was a big bully to me, pushed me around everywhere, called Marlboro Lights. I smoked Marlboro Red, but I cut back and went to Marlboro Light. I was on one pack of Marlboro Red and went to two packs of Marlboro Light. That's like y'all drinking a Diet Pepsi with a Snicker bar. That's an oxymoron. Don't make sense to me. I got tired of this bully pushing me around. I'm telling you now, bullies, ain't they something? They just push you around anywhere they want to put you. Boy, wouldn't it be a blessing if some of y'all got fed up with your giant this morning? I want to say not only the existence of this giant and the experience of this giant and the exhibit, we see his validity and his vantage. But watch if you could in verse number 8 now. There's the valley of your giant. The valley. The Bible said, he stood and cried to the armies of Israel and said to them, why are you come out to set your battle in array? Am not I a Philistine and your servants to Saul? Choose you a man for you and let him come down to me. Let me give you something good right there. Don't never go to their level. It's easy to go to where they are. God wants us to be different. And Lord, help me to not try to get over even. I told you Wednesday night, I didn't never try to get even. That's sissy. Get even, what's that about? devil said, come on down here where I'm at. Matter of fact, first of all, we don't need to be down on the giant's caliber. That giant that's haunting you, we don't need to be brought down to where he is. Come on down here in this valley. I'm going to tell you what. We've got no problem living in a valley. But we have no sense in living in a valley. We can get out of that valley if we want to. Now, we see this validity of the giant. He's real. And we see the vantage of a giant. He's big. But we see this valley of the giant. He said, I want you to come down here to where I look the biggest. Isn't it something how that he loves to get you down? You ever notice that? You ever notice how that, man, you can leave a church service and you can get in your car and you ain't even been home yet. You plunge right down in that valley. You ever notice how we've been a great church service, the Spirit of God moving, the Word of God helping us? And boy, it seems like, man, this is wonderful, wonderful. And before long, we're right back down in the gutter, in the valley. You know, isn't it amazing of how that He loves to get us down? I've noticed this. He loves to get me down with deception. He's a deceiving rascal. Have you ever been deceived? Has He ever painted a picture for you and made you believe it? I mean, buddy, He's an artist, isn't He? I mean, down in that valley with your giant, He brings deception and brings you as low as you can get. I read something about deception this morning. I want to say that Satan wants your perception to be based on deception. You act not necessarily upon what is true, but on what you believe to be true. Satan knows, so he creates an unreal world through our imaginations. He knows that if he can get you to believe his lies, you'll react as though they were true. Can't he paint a pretty picture? Deception. And then number two, depression. I've heard this a lot. Snap out of it. I'm going to do Benny Hinn this morning. Y'all snap out of it. That don't work. That don't. Wish I could. Have you ever just wished you could, Miss Flo, just snap your finger and something fix it? I wish I had a few of them in a box. Hey, preacher, pull out your snap box. Deception, but discouragement. Discouragement's an awful thing. But have you noticed something that is so simple but so profound I want to share with you about when he brings you down in that valley of depression? Have you ever thought about this? Watch. When you're happy, you know what? You've been thinking happy. When you're sad, you've been thinking sad. When you're angry, you're thinking angry. And when you're depressed, you're thinking on depressing things. You know what Paul said? Paul was brought before King Agrippa and he said this, I think myself happy. You know what? We can look around this morning and think about what we ain't got and get depressed. We can look around about how angry things get and we can stay angry. And I'm going to tell you something right now. I'm angry about the churches in our area. I'm angry. I'm angry because they took the Word of God out. Dress codes don't really just run me crazy. I think Christian ought to dress right, look right, talk right, act right. But I'm going to tell you what bothers me, hon, is the Word of God. Because He chose the foolishness of preaching to save those that believe. The devil's painted a pretty picture down in Bowden, Georgia. And a lot of these folks has grabbed it hook, line, and sinker. They went in the entertaining business instead of the church business. But you know, I don't want to think on that. I'll be angry and I'll preach angry. The whole time I thought about it a while ago as I was preaching, that angry thing brought me in, it has come right on out. Does that ever come on out on y'all? Oh, turn them halos up. I can tell, buddy, you got your harps out this morning. The reason I'm angry, because I think angry thoughts. The reason I'm sad, because I'm thinking sad thoughts. But I can be happy because I know happiness is about happenings. But let me ask you something. You say, preacher, ain't nothing happening happy. Oh, hang on a minute. Hang on just a minute. What you got sitting down there on the bench by you? What about that copy of the Word of God you got? What about the Holy Ghost that lives in you? And that's some pretty good things to be thinking about. Now, if I spend all my time thinking about what I ain't got, I'm going to stay depressed. Going to stay angry. And it's nothing wrong with setting goals. But I'm talking about, honey, everyday walk of life, we are what we think. We ought to think on positive things. Jesus is coming. And I'm going. So, your giant loves to get you down in there where he is and bring you to a low place in deception and depression. And then he loves to put me down there and put me in defeat. Have you ever felt defeated? You know, one of the best friends I've got, or the best friend I've got here, beside the one who lives in me is the Holy Ghost, is my wife. You know something, when I feel so defeated, you know what? Miss Debbie, she'll say something that'll help me. Did you know, husband and wife, you could say something to your husband or your wife to really help them over the curve? Instead of keep beating them down, why don't you try to help them by the glory of God? Don't you think sometimes you might, you know, God's put you in a relationship, no doubt, to bring balance. Man, I'm everywhere. I'm bouncing off the walls. I drank me 3 cups of Starbucks coffee every Sunday morning. I'm ready to go to 12:30. Then I crash. And my wife, she's just like a straight string, buddy. Now, if my wife's rocked, it's time to get upset. She brings balance. Man, I walk out and say, honey, it's so bad. She said, no, it's not that bad. You're a drama queen. Anybody live with a drama queen? I mean, man, it's just worse. Well, the sky's a falling, sky's a falling. I come in, sky's falling, sky's falling. She said, honey, sky ain't a falling. We ought to reach out and we ought to do what God's wanting us to do. God's put us together. We ought to encourage, and that goes that way in the church. When we see our brother and sister discouraged and defeated, we ought to see what we can do to lift them up. Lift them up. It's amazing what just little things will do. Especially some of you don't never say nothing. And don't never, some of you was to raise your hand and shout, I'd have a heart attack. Some of you wants to make a Wednesday night service, they're going to call the ambulance for me. Punch them, say, he's preaching to you. We ought to encourage one another, haven't we? Because you know what? We all face giants in our life. We all face them. Them young'uns, they all had an enemy, but one was bigger than another one. Your giant may not be my giant, but I can tell you this, I've got giants. And so this morning, I want to say this now in closing. Not only the validity of our giant, not only the vantage of our giant in the valley, but let's look lastly at the victory over our giant. How do I get victory over my giant? I know I got giants. I'm with you, preacher. How I get over them? That's what I want to know, how I get over them. Have I got time to tell you? Do you want to hear it, or do you want to go stand in buffet line behind the rest of them mad Baptists?
Victory. I want to say in verse 31, you got to face him. You got to take charge of your situation.
In verse 31, verse 32, when the words were heard which David spake, they rehearsed them before Saul and sent for him. David said to Saul, let no man's heart fail because of him. Thy servant will go and fight with this Philistine. He said, I'll go. I'll go. Nobody else could, and I've got nobody else would. Because you know what, Brother Jerry, that was David's giant. Brother Troy, I can't defeat your giant. Brother Joe, I can't kill your giant. And Brother Phil, you can't kill my giant. Only I can deal with my giant. You've got to face your giant. Turning your head is not going to defeat your giant. Running. Because when you stop, he runs faster than you do. You have got to face your giant. Then, number two, not only can you face your giant, you've got to fight your giant. Christian life is a battle. Can you figure that out yet? You've got an opposing force against you. Daddy's your key target. You know why? Your leadership of the home. You got an X drawn on your back. And if your giant can blast you out of doing what God wants you to do for your family, he's got part of your family. Leadership at Liberty Baptist Church. If you're in leadership, you got an X drawn on your back. You're a target. And if your giant can knock you out of the race, he's going to. Running from your giant's not going to do anything with him. You got to face him and you got to fight him. This thing is a fight. We've got an old man living in this thing that rears his head up often. And boy, he causes me trouble. Did y'all go home? You've got to face him. If you notice this, he looked around. Nobody else would deal with him. Then he looked about. He said, you know what? He said, in verse 33 through 36, he said, I've killed a lion and a bear before. They didn't. That wasn't the end of the story. But look in verse 37. He looked above. David said, moreover, the Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion. You know what we need to do? We need to quit looking at our giant. We need to start looking above our giant. Quit looking at your giant. Quit looking right at it. Look above it. There's somebody bigger than your giant. And that's the Lord. Now, there's the facing. There's the fighting. Verse 38. I'm going to tell you a big key to kill your giant. Verse 38. Saul armed David with his armor. He put a helmet of brass on his head and armed him with a coat of mail. And David girded his sword upon his armor and he essayed to go for he had not proved it. And David said to Saul, I cannot go with these for I've not proved them. And David put them off him. You know what he done on fighting his giant? He stayed little. A lot of times when we get defeated, we think we've got big as our giant. David said, I can't wear your armor. It don't fit. David stayed little.
You know, isn't it amazing when we stay little how God gets big?
Long as we can do it and we get the credit, God don't get no honor, no glory for it, does He? Well, God loves to take care of giants. Can you go back and give God a testimony? Remember something bothering you real big and real bad, and God conquered your giant. Now you stand up and testify about what the Lord done. You know how come? Because you stayed little.
Stayed little. If we take up all this big money every week, God don't get no glory. But buddy, you just have meager offerings. Then God does something. We can't pat nobody on the back. God gets the honor and all the... I don't want to bore you with this. I'm close. I feel like I'm losing you. How did this ministry get debt free like it is? People struggling. People just barely getting by. Look out there in the parking lot. You know who I pastor? Jacked up trucks, rednecks. They ain't many Beamers in our parking lot. But Brother Darrell, God loves to take the impossible and do the possible. David didn't look at his giant. He looked above his giant. He said, "The Lord will deliver me today." I'm glad some of you saints of God have seen God deal with your giants. It lets me know He can deal with my giant. He looked above. A lot of you are facing a lot of big obstacles. Giant. But I'm going to tell you something. You'll find out not only do you have to face your giant, fight your giant, but in verse 45 through 49, you'll find out you got to flatten your giant. And I'm going to tell you the best way to flatten him. Cover your young'un's ears. Throw the first lick. David didn't sit out there and say, "Hit me right there." David realized there's a fight. And the first time his giant spoke to him, he reached in his shepherd's bag and pulled out a stone. My giant of Copenhagen says, "Ken, I get the first lick. Greater is He that is in me than he that is in the world. I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me." I throw the first stone. Not the first fist. Not the first judo chop. But I throw the first stone. And I'm going to tell you what. When he starts talking to you, you better reach in that shepherd's bag and pull you out a stone out of the Word of God, because he can't handle the Word of God. How many times when that giant of defeat runs up to you, how many times have you run to your Bible or you tuck tail and run the other way? God's give you something to kill your giant. The Word of God. The Holy Ghost that indwells you. Do you not realize that you got Jesus in you by the person of the Holy Ghost? The one that says, "Peace be still," lives in you. How many times do we say, "Oh, I'm so defeated"? I don't have to be. When's the last time you got along with the Word of God and got in your shepherd's bag and got you something to throw back? Very important. I say this lastly, Brother Tim, whatever we want to do on invitation. Not only do we face our giant, fight our giant, flatten our giant. But I've noticed this, giants don't like to stay dead. You better finish your giant.
No, what we do, I heard Brother Hanley Milby preach this, one of the best preachers in America. He said this one time. He said, you know what we do? He's preaching on idols. He said, we get our idols, we run them out to our altar, and we get them on the tree, and we bury them, but we do something about it. We leave the head stuck up out of the ground. And we don't never kill him.
I can tell you this, the only way you're going to kill him is to cut his head off. This pushing and shoving him and this word changing ain't going to fix it.
You're going to have to do what David did. What did he do? He pulled a sword and he jumped up on him.
And he cut his head off. And I got a message I'm going to preach for long. I didn't know what David done with his sword. But I found it this morning. It's very interesting, Brother Tim, where he put it. This morning you've got a two-edged sword. The Word of God. You got your giant down. You better take this. And you better cut his head off. While you got him down. Because that's the only way you're going to feed him. Some of you this morning, you're facing things that you just can't get over. Some of it's jealousy. I want to tell you something I learned in the corporate world for years and years. It made a lot of sense to me. I've never been jealous of nobody under me. Only them ahead of me. If you're jealous of somebody this morning, it's your problem. That's a big giant with you. You ought to ask God to take his head off, put him in this altar. But wouldn't it be a blessing if you come back to the camp with the head of your giant in your hand the way David did? Could you imagine David come walking in with that giant's head? You say, preacher, that's impractical. Oh, no, it's not. No, sirree. Jesus has the power put in us. I don't have to be addicted to anything. The Bible said in the book of Romans, I need to deem myself as dead and alive to the Spirit of God.